All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, SportsMappers? Thanks for joining us on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's been what we've been doing for 2 hours already. Ready to finish strong with the final 60 minutes of the show. If you missed any of it, go back and check the podcast. You can catch up on that element that we offer.
We discussed things such as what is sexual and what is not sexual when it comes to taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed
fantasy football.
Fantasy football.
Texans.
Which, if you missed, will be on ESPN975.com.
We discussed TV, things that were purchased on TV. Like Nick trying to get his hops elevated by Spud Webb jumping. What, jump shoes? What the hell are they
jump
called?
Jump soles.
Oh. Whatever. All right, couple of texts, and then we'll get to some other things. Because you have something about Instagram followers?
Yeah, I got a couple for you. I got a question on, of the major sports leagues, who do you think has the most Instagram followers? And then the names are being released for Players Weekend in Major League Baseball. The Astros have released.
When is that?
What they're going to have coming on the back of their jerseys. I believe it's the last week of this month.
Okay. So a couple things. Somebody said, hey, with the top two bosses are out, it's The Usual Suspects and MLB The Show 18 time. Lucky you. You ain't even got to work. You're just playing video games and listening to the radio. Good for you. Am I selfish by not wanting y'all to talk fantasy football until after my draft? Yes, Walt, you are.
Way to go, Walt.
He didn't want his opponents getting free advice. Well, that's not how this show works. We help everybody. Walt, you hater.
Karma's a bit.
I bought one of them earwax drill not looking things and it works.
A what?
What?
I don't know what that is.
What's an earwax drill?
I do know my wife got me in on some, I don't know, Mexican voodoo thing where it's this cone and you put it in your ear and then you light the top of it and it's supposed to suck the earwax out of your ear. It's some voodoo looking stuff. I almost
along
cursed.
Along the same premise, there's like a long candle wick.
That's the, yeah.
That you put, yeah, and you heat up the other end and that's supposed
correct
to work too.
Yeah, I didn't feel any different. Of course, I was the guinea pig because she was like, oh, no, this they do it all the time. But she and her sister-in-law, Nancy, they wouldn't do it. I had to do it. I'm the one that they shoved this
you
thing
have,
in my ear.
I love how they use you as like a lab experiment. It's hilarious.
For everything. Yeah. You guys do it too. What are you talking about? They.
I don't.
You
I
guys
don't
do it too.
But you should have, like when they said, well, how is it? Do you feel any different? You should have gone, what?
It's called Smart Swab. $12.99.
Smart Swab?
Earwax removal.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Designed to safely extract earwax. That's the as seen on TV version.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Have you guys seen the assistant strength coach for the Oakland Raiders smoke show, Latina? I have not.
No, I have not either.
I will Google that. Nicholas, you want to Google that for us?
On it.
All right. Just curious, which do y'all prefer, the National League way where the pitchers are required to bat or the American League way where you have a DH?
I would just like consistency, but for the sake of baseball being more exciting, I think the designated hitter is what everybody would like to see.
Pitchers pitch and hitters hit. I love the way the AL does it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see a pitcher bat. That's 1920s baseball. This is 2018 baseball. I don't think pitchers specialize now. They shouldn't have to
hit. You got a couple pitchers that can hit, but for every couple of pitchers, there's some really embarrassing swings going
on. It was like the
there
argument where, oh, I don't like that they just hold up four fingers and that's the intentional walk because there's a ball that gets away. Yeah, like twice in a season. It's not worth it. Hubcap Grill in Garden Oaks has a killer peanut butter burger. It's been in multiple magazines for a state-ranked burger.
Stank-ranked, yeah.
No, state-ranked burger. That was from Keith. Just regular peanut butter, or do you change it somehow? I don't know. For what I had, it was just regular peanut butter. Instead of like mayo and ketchup and all this stuff, you just put peanut butter. It's kind of melted. It's a little soft. It's not like
well, it will
cold
upon
out of the
impact
fridge
it with everything hot on the
but
bun.
I think they warm it up. It was there's a picture on my Instagram. That berry is funny. It was like melted, like I don't know, like not almost like someone put queso on it, but a little thicker consistency. And it was really good. My stepdad uses peanut butter when he cooks chicken in a skillet. It's amazing. I have never heard of that.
Well, if you're going to try the burger, you're definitely trying the chicken.
I mean, I would try it, but I've never heard of it.
Well, you're the guinea pig.
Yeah. Love the show. Hey, Barry, would you go with Raheel to his annual No Women Allowed trip to Schlitterbahn? Raheel, if you want me to go, you can come in and ask me. You don't have to text the show. I mean, I know you're a big fan, but you don't have to.
Do they have to wear, like,
by the way,
a banana hammock?
Yeah, I'm not a big, like, I'll be in L.A. for a week.
Yeah.
My shirt will never come off in L.A. I'm not a big take my shirt off and show my fat gut kind of guy.
Will you wear Lululemon on the trip?
I mean, if that was a requirement, I would.
I think it might be.
But no, I won't go to Schlitterbahn because I don't want to be the guy in the pool with his t-shirt on. That's Nick. I don't want to be that cat. I would just not go.
I never jumped in a pool.
I got hammered for that. That was me as a kid.
Yeah, I don't need to expose my breasts in public. I don't even do the yard without a shirt. And I should because it's hot. I could get on the riding lawnmower, take the top off. Just cruise around, moves out.
There's probably all kinds of bugs on your property. I wouldn't do it with the shirt off. Keep your shirt on.
But no.
There's bald eagles. There's all different kinds of safari animals. Catch malaria
or something from a mosquito.
Rhinos. He's got the whole thing going.
All right, you guys. I couldn't help myself. My bad.
All right, let's do it.
We're talking Texans.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, we are talking Texans. Sarah Barshop joins us at 3:15.
That's right. Yep. So Sarah's going to make an appearance for the first time this year, as well as she's the beat reporter for the for ESPN for the Texans. Okay, so I asked this before the break. I teased a little bit before the break, but I'm going to ask you again. Of the major leagues, NASCAR, PGA, NHL, MLB, NFL, NBA, who has the most Instagram followers?
Give me them all again. I know the big three.
NBA, NFL, MLB, sure. NHL, PGA, NASCAR.
Well, it can't be PGA because that's all white guys and they're not on Instagram.
And they just got hacked.
Hence you.
Thanks.
NASCAR. It won't be NASCAR because rednecks can't figure out the internet.
They've been on a decline.
That's a really popular sport, though.
Yeah. Soccer.
Can you get the internet on a mobile home? No, there's no soccer.
No, what was the other one? PGA, NHL. Oh, NHL.
Uh-huh.
I'll go NBA.
So I'll go from bottom to top.
Okay.
All right. And the top surprises me.
The NBA seems to me would have the youngest fan base. And so ergo they would be on Instagrams.
Top surprises me the most. All right. NASCAR's at the ass bottom. Sorry,
told
Trey.
You. Rednecks can't figure out
technology. And you can't get it on a mobile home. 853,000.
That's it?
That's it.
There's some hoes out there with way more than that. Yeah. That's crazy.
The ones that aren't sexual?
All the ones. All
PGA Tour, 1.3 million.
They're second.
Yep.
So I was right. Those
second
two were the
second
lowest.
To the bottom, yeah.
Yeah. Because the old people don't.
Then NHL at 3 million.
Okay.
Then baseball at 4.5.
I was going to say baseball next, then the NFL.
Yes.
Then NBA.
But how about the difference?
Nailed it.
NFL, I'm sure you cheated. NFL,
what are you talking about?
11.6 million.
It's on the text line.
It's okay, you got tabs.
I agree, you cheated. What were you saying, Joel?
God, I hate y'all.
NFL, 11.6 mil, but the biggest surprise is how big a difference it is. The NBA just hit 30. See? He cheated. 30 million.
Because
Instagram.
I understand technology? I cheated?
No, you hit it right on the head.
I mean, it was a guess.
Yeah.
I swear to God. Okay. I swear on my dead grandma's grave, I'd never looked at this story. I swear to you, I'm just guessing.
No, someone just tweeted it to you. All right, so the NBA, 30 million.
Worst.
And in second, the NFL at 11.6. Everybody talks about how huge the NFL is.
Right, how popular.
And the difference,
but it's also a bunch of old alcoholics.
More than doubled.
Why do you keep calling everybody old, Barry?
An alcoholic now.
I mean, NFL has a lot of... What are their main sponsors? Bud Light, Miller Light?
I would probably agree with that.
Old alcoholics.
So you're basically calling everybody Granado? Only just changed the beer sponsor?
Could be.
All right. I also have the nicknames for the Astros Players Only weekend, but we got to get to a break.
We'll save that. Yeah, we can't miss
Sarah.
So we'll do that at 3:30 because I want to hear some of these because last year there were some good ones. Snapdragon, Lil Snapdragon. What were some of the other ones?
Thank God Brad Peacock chose one and not the other. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Just P. Just P? That's all he went with?
He just got the letter P.
Oh. At least he didn't go with the second part, huh?
Yeah. And I'm a little disappointed that
I'm surprised he wasn't the Rooster.
I'm also disappointed in Ryan Pressly.
Why?
Because he just went with Pressly.
Oh, yeah, that's whack.
Hey, put Elvis on there.
Just something.
Something, right? Give him a little humor and mix it up a little bit. All right, we'll get to those later. But next, Sarah Barshop getting ready to cover Texans and Chiefs from Arrowhead. So that'll be good. Our first visit of the year with Sarah, the beat reporter for ESPN, checking in on with us prior to the game tonight. We'll see how much Deshaun Watson's going to play. So stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects right here on Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I don't even think about it. When I'm on the field, I'm locked in, focused on my job, and try to have a positive play and try to get points on the board. Yeah, it's not an issue now. It wasn't an issue back then either, so... we just take it one day at a time, continue to maintenance it, and just continue to, push forward and just kind of build my confidence.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspect at ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Joined now by Sarah Barshop, as you heard the comments from Deshaun Watson. You can follow her at Sarah Barshop on Twitter, but she is the beat reporter for the Houston Texans for ESPN, and she joins us periodically throughout the season, making her first appearance. We appreciate her stopping by on a game day. Sarah, welcome to the show. Good to have you back. Hope all is well. If you're staying at the Greenbrier, life can't be too bad.
I did not stay at the Greenbrier. but I did go for dinner twice, so, got to experience it a little bit, but no. I was staying at a hotel a little bit down the road.
Did they leave the light on for you?
That lovely place.
At the other hotel, did they leave the light on for you?
Yeah, they did. It was a Marriott, so I can't complain. I was very happy with my Marriott points. It's 2.5 weeks in West Virginia.
Nice.
Okay. Well, so right off the top, we just played some comments from Deshaun Watson. He says he's feeling good and everything like that. But just from a safety concern, and I'm sure there's a lot of Texans fans that are concerned about this, how much are we going to see Deshaun Watson, not only tonight, but in the preseason?
So Bill O'Brien was very tight-lipped about this. He said, you guys will find out when you see who takes the field on Thursday. He did say, however, after some questioning, that it was more likely than not that we'd see him on Thursday night. So I could see him getting a series, depending on how long that goes, maybe two. But I think they'll let him get a couple, looks in a real game, and then I think he will sit safely on the bench for the rest of it. And I think we'll see him get some time, you're coming off an ACL injury. He needs to see some time, but you don't want to risk that. There's no need for any player, but especially for Deshaun Watson or even someone like J.J. Watt, to take any unnecessary hits during the preseason.
I was going to say, is the same true for J.J. Watt? Are we going to see him at all this preseason, or are they going to be resting him and getting him prepared to start week one?
I think we'll see him for at least one game if he gets his way, especially. He said you want to get some live reps before you're playing in the regular season, but he made the point that the training camp practices are so good and they've got a high level of talent on both sides of the ball that he does feel like he's getting some of those reps, and that takes place of what he would need to get done during the preseason. But he did say he wants to see at least one game. He'd like to see some live reps.
All right, let's talk about some of the positions that people have a lot of interest in when they follow this team. I'll go right to the most concerning that we had all of last year and again all of offseason and now into this season, the offensive line. They've added new players, they brought in new personnel, but in what you have seen as you have followed this team so far this training camp, is the offensive line going to be better, and how much better will they be?
It's going to be better. I mean, I think they improved. Before new starters, they definitely made improvements. I don't think they took a step back at any position, but I think it's all relative. I still think they have one of the poorer offensive lines in the league. I mean, we saw what they looked like last year, and Deshaun Watson makes everyone else look better. So it's kind of deceiving to watch this during training camp. It's kind of hard to tell The way he moves around back there, you don't really know. It's totally different than last year when we saw Tom Savage and TJ Yates back there after Watson got hurt. So we'll have to see in a real game. I think they'll be better, but like I said, I think that's a lot to ask, I think, for Julian Davenport at left tackle, for a young guy to play that important position to protect a guy coming off his second ACL surgery.
No doubt.
I'll be very interested to watch that continue during training camp and tonight in the preseason game.
Well, you know, there's so many injuries that you could talk about how these guys are going to come back. But a guy that I'm not hearing a lot about that people aren't, you know, what's the stat? Whitney Mercilus. What can we expect from Whitney Mercilus? I mean, there's a lot of talk about JJ. There's a lot of talk about Deshaun Watson. What's Whitney Mercilus looking like? What's the status on him?
So actually, we were talking to Bill O'Brien, and there have been some questions about JJ and Clowney. And he said, you know, no one asked me about Whitney Mercilus. I think Whitney Mercilus is a very important part of this defense. And I would agree. I think that's a big reason why the defense took a big step back last year, was losing him. Obviously, JJ is a loss, but we saw what they did without JJ 2 years ago. Now, without him and Whitney, I think they just had, Cloudy can't do it all. Needs some help. So I think he's a key part. He's missed a couple practices, so we won't see him tonight. But I do think that he's recovered from the torn pectoral muscle, and I think he'll be an important part of that pass rush.
So he's on pace to be ready before the start of the regular season, obviously. Okay, and then Clowney. I mean, everybody, obviously, it's coming up on a contract year. Everybody focuses on, you know, how he's grown into becoming what they always wanted him to be, but he's been slowed throughout camp and everything. What's the latest on Jadeveon?
So on Sunday, Bill said he's not in football shape, and when he's in football shape, he'll be out on the field. I was kind of taken aback by that because he had said at the beginning of camp, but he had also said that he would be there soon. So on Tuesday, he kind of softened his stance, and he said he's actually made good progress. We'll see what he won't play tonight, but we'll get him back on the field, hopefully ease him back in some more, and see where he is relative to maybe playing in that game against the Rams, which is the third preseason game. So he could see some time during the joint practice against the 49ers, which would be very valuable. Obviously, that's something that they like most of their guys to participate in because it's different than going against the same guys every day in training camp. So it says that everyone says they're not concerned. I do think this will, it's not great if he's not out there, but they said they're easing him back in and they just want to, Anthony Weaver, the defensive line coach, told us, they just want to make sure he's as strong as he can so he doesn't have those nagging injuries he's dealt with in previous seasons. So if that's the case, I think he eases himself back in. He plays in that Rams game. I think we could, be looking at him full speed ahead for the regular season.
What's the running back situation? Miller, Foreman, Blue, Irvin. What can fans expect, or what are your thoughts on how this is all going to shake out, and who's going to get the bulk of the carries, and what can we expect?
So we'll have to see if Foreman starts the season on the pup list. I have a hard time seeing, even if he doesn't start there, and they do what they did for Will Fuller, and they keep him on the roster, but he doesn't play for a couple weeks until he gets healthy. I mean, an Achilles injury is a really big deal, especially for a running back. And that's a really tough injury to come back from. So if at the end of July, Brian Gain is saying, well, we don't even know, we don't have the information yet to see whether he'll be ready for the regular season, who knows, but I have a hard time seeing him being ready to take the lead back role to start the season if that's the case.
That would be interesting.
Lamar Miller looks a lot quicker. He looks leaner. We talked to him, and he could tell he looks a little different, and he looks faster out there. So he'll get the majority of the carries early on, especially if Foreman isn't playing. Alfred Blue will see some time as a backup, especially if Foreman's not out there. But I think Lamar Miller will get the bulk of the carries early on, and then we'll see when Foreman comes back. I mean, toward the end of last season, Foreman was overtaking him, and I think had he been healthy, he may have started this season as a starter. But because he's still dealing with that injury, I think we'll see Lamar Miller take lead.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because if Foreman's not ready to go, like you say, it's a possibility. Would they kick the tires on an Adrian Peterson or a veteran running back that might be able to fill in and fit in for at least a short spurt? That'll be something to keep an eye on. And then from the secondary standpoint, Sarah, there's tons of questions. Is Jonathan Joseph finally too long in the tooth? Is Kareem Jackson going to play safety? And is he going to play well? And is he going to be okay? And then Kevin Johnson. And is Kevin Johnson going to get back to where he was when they drafted him? Or is Kevin Johnson lost something in all the injuries?
Yeah, I think it was interesting to me talking about Kareem. Is that he told us that Bill said, yeah, you're going to play safety, but make sure you're continuing to be versatile, continuing to practice at those cornerback positions, because we might want to use you all over the field. And that's kind of what Bill stresses about this entire roster is versatility. We hear him say that time and time again. So I think depending on whether Kevin Johnson looks like the guy they thought they were drafting, or he looks like the guy who was the 121st ranked cornerback last season, I think that gives him a little bit of flexibility. Tyrann Mathieu, I will say, though, no surprise, he looks very good at training camp, and I think he's going to be a fun player to watch this season.
Good deal. We appreciate it, Sarah. Thanks for spending some time with us. We look forward to catching you up with you throughout the season, but have a good time tonight. We'll look forward to reading your stuff after the game.
Thanks for having me on.
There you go. At Sarah Barshop on Twitter if you want to follow her. Sarah Barshop, who covers the Houston Texans for ESPN. We'll be back with more in just mere minutes. Coyote guy, we see you. You're on hold. We'll get to you. That and more coming up next right here on The Usual Suspects.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel. It is SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. You got some stuff you want to clear up?
Yeah, a couple of text messages. Folks asking, who's your pick to go to the World Series? And who's your pick for NL MVP?
Everybody keeps texting that NL MVP thing.
They're into it. That's what they want. You
go ahead.
Well, who's your World Series picks, first of all?
I'm going to say as of right now, because we did our picks at the start of the year. Yeah. But as of right now, I'll stick with a rematch of last year's World Series.
You think Dodgers?
Yep.
Dodgers and Astros, huh?
Yep. Who you got?
You know, it's tough because I feel like part of me wants to pick the Astros because they have the pitching staff to do that. But the Red Sox, believe it or not, are hotter than they've been all year, it seems like.
Well, if you look at the clip that they're winning games at, it's ridiculous, over 70% the way they're winning ball games.
Yeah. I mean, they're 9-1 in their last 10, hottest team in baseball again. They've won 6 in a row. Best record in the majors by far. They've got a 70, you know, they're winning 70% of their games, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So it's hard not to pick against them, but I think that one of the things that really makes a difference in the playoffs is rotation and bullpen. And the Astros got better in the bullpen. They got rid of Ken Giles. I mean, we just talked about they came off a road trip where they didn't give up any runs at all. So the bullpen is better. They've got a lockdown closer. Regardless of what you think about this man off the field, he is a legitimate closer in the majors.
And the guy that's been doing Rondon, it before him?
Yeah. Rondon is a legitimate setup guy on this team now. Like, he's a legitimate eighth inning option. So if, you know, you've got McHugh, you could literally hand the ball off to somebody in the seventh inning, give it to McHugh, go to Rondon, and then to Osuna. And it's a legitimate 7-8-9 situation in the back end of that bullpen. You may not have to do that, though. Because rotations get shorter. Now you're going to take a guy that's the fifth starter on this team and move him to the bullpen. So it might be Morton again because he excelled in that role. It's scary to look at the Astros in the postseason. So I'm with you. My head is telling me I want to pick the Astros to make it to the World Series again because they're still maintaining a pretty good clip without all their superstars. They've got that rotation. They've got a bullpen. I'm going to go Astros, but I'm going to disagree with you in the National League, and I'm going to say Cubs. I think that's a team you can't sleep on. I think the Cubs are going to surprise some folks, and they're back at where people thought they would be last year.
I can see it happening simply because of what you said, too. I mean, I'm a firm believer in pitching is huge in the playoffs.
Yeah.
As you said, both rotational and with the bullpen. And the fact that they went out and they got Cole Hamels, the Cubs did.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers, Kershaw got beat last night by the A's. Kershaw only had one strikeout. Kershaw has been a strikeout pitcher his entire career. That scares me because if it comes down to pitching, you got to be hot at the right time there too. And the Dodgers starting pitching does scare me a little bit. But that offense, adding those two guys,
yeah,
adding the fact that you added two all-stars in the middle of your lineup for guys that you were missing, and you could add Manny Machado, and you could add...
Well, they've won them one game at least we know of because they
and Dozier's had a couple of bombs that's won games too, so... Yeah, so that's why I think the Dodgers offense alone is why I picked them. But either one of those, I can see happening.
Any thoughts on NL MVP?
Not really. I mean,
If I'm not going to give it to Mike Trout in the AL because the Angels aren't doing well, I'm certainly not going to give it to Matt Carpenter of the Cardinals.
He's having a year, though.
Boy, they're 6.5 back, though. I mean, I know that they're still kind of in
it. He just hit his 30th home run.
31 now.
Now 31?
He's got 31. But I'm giving my NL MVP to Freddie Freeman. That guy has been a staple in the Braves when they've been as bad as they've been. They're a game out of the division. They're winning 55% of their games. They're probably going to be either a division winner or a wild card. I got to go with a team that no one thought. There were people that said the Phillies might be a sleeper this year, and you saw that because of some of the moves that they made, and Kapler being a rookie manager, but a guy that manages a bit unorthodox, but that seems to have been working lately and doing it by sabermetrics and all that. But man, the Braves came out of nowhere. They're 7-3 in their last 10, and they're not fading like I thought they would. I thought the Phillies would fade. Neither one of those teams are fading. It's actually the Nationals that are scuffling to keep pace with these two upstart teams. I'm going Freddie Freeman as my NL MVP.
I mean, other guys that I'll throw out there just because you're right, because Markakis Arenado's is also having a great year for the Braves. Arenado for the Rockies. Christian Yelich, who last night hit the scoreboard in center field Milwaukee, which is a bomb.
Yeah.
Trevor Story
also in Colorado has been playing pretty damn well, but on that team, it's Arenado or nobody.
Yeah, and the sleeper is Javi Baez is having one hell of a year defensively, and he leads the National League in RBIs.
Is he a sleeper, though? Because every report I see, he's like number one.
Who's that?
Javi Baez?
Really?
Every report. Like, Freddie Freeman, that's kind of a cool pick, only because he's not necessarily, from the reports I'm talking, I don't know, but I'm just saying he's more categorized as an honorable mention.
Oh, really?
So
he's their runner-up second?
Yeah, but Baez and Carpenter and Scherzer, those are like the top three that I think.
I'll say this. Defensively,
I just don't give MVP to a pitcher. I mean, that's what the Cy Young is for.
Defensively, which doesn't get a lot of run for MVP, Baez makes plays almost on a nightly basis. The other night he made two of them back to home plate. Just phenomenal defensive player. Too. So he does.
He's
a
having
lot.
A hell of a year. But I think the Cubs have a lot of talent on that team around him. It'd be like, I don't know. There's a ton of talent, but the Cardinals are 3.5 out of the wild card. That's why Carpenter isn't a guy that I just couldn't see getting it. But everybody, even the Rockies, that's why I didn't give it to Arenado. That's a guy.
Arenado's, again, another defensive stud.
Yeah, they're also a couple games back in their division, three out of the wild card. There are teams like the Braves that are in the wild card mix in the division. That's just, to me, that's more important.
And if you mention those two guys are the Braves, I'll tell the other one is Jesus Aguiar from the Brewers, who's hitting bombs left and right. Yeah. Who's got huge offensive numbers for a team like the Brewers, who, like you were just saying with the Rockies, a wild card team on the cusp of fighting with the Cubs for the division. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, on the mound tonight for the Astros, Verlander against Paxton, who's been the Astros killer. The Mariners completely free-falling, but if there's one guy that's going to get them out of their woes and a guy that's been a thorn in the Astros' side, it is James Paxton. He's pitching out against Verlander. That should be an interesting game to watch. Also, Verlander comes out today and said Kate Upton saved his career. I don't know if you saw this or not. He said that he was going through depression with the Tigers. He said that there was an instrumental point in his life where in 2014, when he was with the Tigers, ERA was up, totals way down, giving up more runs than any pitcher in the American League. A Tiger coach told him that he should get an MRI. He stopped. on some stairs and actually cried and thought it was the end. He actually thought about jumping off a bridge.
Verlander?
Yeah.
That's wild.
And was fighting depression. And at that point, Kate Upton stood in there and said, you know what, and put a halt to it, because she had obviously dealt with a lot. Weight issues were always, everybody's being critical and scrutinizing her as a model and everything like that. And he said he was internalizing a lot of stuff, and he didn't like to talk to anybody about what he was feeling and going through pain. And she stepped in, and basically he gives her credit for basically saving his life.
Wow.
And his career.
Good for her. Good for
but
him.
I think Kate Upton would cure my depression too. I'm just
saying.
She's
got kind of a square,
square
frame.
Torso.
I've heard that before,
Who
and I agree.
That?
A lot of people. Oh, it was Joel. Joel with the square torso part. Yeah.
You're absolutely false. That's wrong. It was the guy to my right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you coined that.
No, I play around with him on it.
He teases me all the time. I'm not saying she's not hot. She's just got a square body.
So he just repeats it because you said it that one time.
Yeah,
of course. You know he's never going to let me live that down. Never.
Stop it. Like, I'm serious about it. and then the other Astros thing is they came out with the nicknames for Players Only Weekend. We'll get to those. We can get to those in the final segment because you got a guy.
I
want to
know these. Yeah, I want to know these. Yeah, we got to get to Coyote guy's call, though. He's been holding for a while now.
Here or at the break?
No, let's do it now. Let's do it now because he wants to talk Conor McGregor. Coyote guy, what's up, man?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
What up, man?
I got three things, man. One,
okay.
We gotta figure out how much Nick's paying in bots.
His list was garbage, wasn't it, Coyote guy? It was absolutely garbage.
Yeah, I'm not a Kanye fan.
Yeah.
Well, too bad Barry didn't put any Kanye songs on his list.
Shut up.
Two.
He's got a couple.
So what's up,
man? Second thing, for real, man, I do. I listen to the whole show all day long, and when you guys come on, it's like, you know, it helps the day just go by so fast.
We appreciate that,
man.
Yeah, that's great.
And what are the chances of Khabib retiring Conor McGregor?
Ooh. That's a good question, man. Appreciate the call and the kind words. Retiring him? I don't know. I think the chances of that are probably slim. I mean,
unless he goes through some mental situation after a loss like Ronda Rousey, I don't imagine him doing that. He made far more money than Ronda Rousey, and Ronda Rousey made a ton of money.
Yeah, but the difference for me is Conor McGregor, wasn't he like a plumber at one point in his life?
He was on welfare.
That's a guy mentally that has been through it, and even though he's a psycho and he feels entitled now because of what he's accomplished and pulled himself up from his bootstraps from nothing, he's created this personality and this guy. I don't think a bad loss ruins him, because if that were the case, that would have happened after the Diaz fight, to be honest with you, because he looked bad in
and
that
I was
fight.
Thinking that. I think the only difference is I really believe when he went into that Diaz fight, he knew he couldn't mess with his mind, but he really believed he could beat him. And that's why the immediate rematch was so easy for him to take.
Yeah.
This situation is different. Khabib is no joke.
Yeah, well, there's no love lost between these two guys. And I mean, I have Khabib winning the fight unless I hear something or see something that changes my mind. But I don't think you can break a guy like Conor McGregor because of his background. Ronda Rousey was spoiled. She was an Olympian. Oh, I mean, I do judo. Okay, that's great. I just felt like she had a little brat in her.
Never,
she wasn't used
never
to
suffer,
losing.
Yeah, she never suffered a loss. See, Conor McGregor, before he got famous, had already suffered losses.
Yeah.
So he gets it.
Bit different.
There you have it. One segment to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz next, right here on Sports Prep 94.1, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show. Appreciate you being a part of it and along for the ride. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. I teased this a while back. I'll just get to it. Astros, for that Players Weekend, get to put whatever they want on the back of their jerseys. The ones that are disappointing right off the top are the guys that just put their last name. So Springer,
lame.
Again. Springer, again, not doing anything.
That's lame.
Yeah. Ryan Presley, as I mentioned previously, just putting Presley. He's not doing anything. Tony Sip. Just some. You can have some fun with some of these, right?
Mine would be Boom Boom. Nick's would be Puss. What's yours? What would yours be?
See.
What? You guys call me Plenty. Probably A-hole. I don't know. Tuve for Altuve.
Yeah.
A-Brag for Bregman.
Oh, God. That's such a bro-ass.
It kind of is.
A-Brag, what up, bro?
Coltrane for
Garrett
Cole.
I feel like he does the hang loose sign a lot for no reason. Alex Bregman.
So, yeah, maybe.
Probably has one of those seashell necklaces, the white.
I like Coltrane for Garrett Cole.
That's not bad. I like that.
J.D. Davis puts J.D. We knew Davinsky's the dragon. Yeah. Derek Fisher put Fisher. Gattis, lame. We know, is the bull. Marwin Gonzalez put Margo.
Wait. Gattis is the bull? I thought it was also Blanco.
Well, they always call him the bull on the broadcast with Blummer.
That's weird. Because his nickname, like, when he was in Atlanta and coming up in the minors and in college and all that, or it was also Blanco.
Okay.
Hmm.
He's going bull. Marwin going Margo. Obviously, Yuli going La Pina. What
the hell does that mean?
Pineapple.
Oh.
Like his hair.
I thought it meant penis. That's my bad.
No. Gustav going Gustav. Will Harris going Bill. Tony Kemp going Kempy. But here's one.
Kempy?
Yeah.
That's such a baseball. Have you ever noticed baseball guys always do that where it's like, oh, well, you know, Baggy and everything is IE at the end. AE at the end. It'd be like, oh, yeah, Nicky and Lammy and Jolie Blanky over here. They do that with everybody. It's lame.
It's E's and ers.
Yeah.
Because I was blankers all through baseball.
See, it's just whack. Get it together, baseball.
Here's Dallas Keuchel. David Bird, B-U-R-D.
Okay.
You're going to like this.
Who is that?
I looked it up for you.
Okay.
That's Lil Dicky.
What? Why on earth did he go?
His real name, Lil Dicky, the
rapper.
We're going to call him a rapper slash comedian.
Nope, he's a rapper.
His Wikipedia page says comedian.
Well, anyone can fill that out.
Lil Dicky's real name, David Bird.
Why is Keuchel going with
that? Dallas is a little different. So I don't know why, but that's what he chose.
Okay.
And Lil Dicky is, you know why he calls himself Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
That is weird. Okay.
Yeah.
Jake once again is going Big Fudge.
Okay, I remember that. Nick? The candy, yeah. The candy thing where he ate a lot of candy when
McCullers
he was
is going Perdomo.
Huh?
I don't know.
Okay.
Colin McHugh is going Moo Q? M, little U, and then a Q.
Okay.
Moo Q. Martin
Muck.
I don't know. Martin Maldonado Valdez, Brian McCann, Uno Seis, his number. Charlie Morton, Ground Chuck.
Nice.
Brad Peacock, the P.
Mm.
Josh Reddick, Red Dog again. Hector Rondon, Rondy.
See?
Joe Smith, Smitty. There's another one. Max Stassi is Stassinelli. Verlander's JV. Tyler White, Whitey.
Oh,
here's another one. And here's the one everybody was waiting for. Roberto Osuna.
Mm-mm. Nope. I will not allow any shenanigans on this, fellas, right now. Do you hear me, Joel? I won't allow it. What is it?
No panic. When did he get to choose this name for the back of his jersey is my question.
Boy,
no panic.
If I was him, I just would have went with Osuna.
That would have been one that I would have been okay with.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Jeff Luno was like, you can just go with your last name.
Just go with your last name. It's probably the safest.
No can do.
Wow. So here's some dumbass text.
Okay.
Nicknames. Barry, not funny. Nick, fat ass. And Joel, two chins, like two chains. Yeah, if you have to explain the joke by following up like two chains.
It's a fail.
It's not good.
Do you know who sent that?
Well, he just said, please don't block me.
I was going to say, because I'm right there ready to press the button.
He said, JK, please don't block me at the end of the text. Well, you can't, if you're going to fire it off, you just have to know that there's a 33% chance at least that you're going to upset one of the three of us that's going to want to block you.
I never wanted to block anybody. I don't know what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
I've never blocked anybody. I'll rephrase.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't want it to block. Yeah, that's true.
I don't block anyone on Twitter or anything like that. Just the text line. Is that all of them? Was there any others?
I'm done.
Okay. Unbiased opinion. Who you got? Antonio Brown or D-Hop? Please end the debate for my friend.
Brown. What, his best receiver?
Yeah.
I'm going.
You jumped right on Antonio Brown.
I am too.
It's not even a question. Sorry.
I totally agree with Nick.
Okay. Sorry. Love D-Hop.
I knew you guys were going to say that. Now, do you understand that through their first 5 years, which is where D-Hop is at, he's been in the league since 2013, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. His numbers across the board are better than Antonio Brown in his first 5 years. And don't forget, Antonio Brown had Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him. DeAndre Hopkins has had a plethora of, I almost cursed, crappy quarterbacks throwing to him.
But
across the board, numbers are better for D-Hop through 5 years.
Fair argument, but isn't this for fantasy?
I knew you were
going
to do this.
You know,
isn't this for fantasy, though?
Just get the other side of it.
Right, I knew
it
on too,
purpose.
But wasn't the question for fantasy?
No, overall.
Oh, it wasn't.
No, it was just overall, but I'd still overall. Take Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I'd still unbiased,
take unbiased, who's better?
I think it's easier for you to say, break it down. Like, I think D-Hop has better hands, for sure.
Okay.
But I think, like, breakaway speed and what Antonio Brown does in terms of creating space with his speed and his quickness, which is different. I think Antonio Brown is – there's a reason why he's the number one receiver in football, fantasy and otherwise, the way people rate receivers. The top two receivers in football, the way people rate receivers, are Antonio Brown and Julio Jones.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, like, right now, but I'm saying through 5 years. Because
well, that's interesting.
After 5 years – here's the crazy thing. So this is touchdowns. This is receiving touchdowns through their first 5 years. It's when you get past that when you realize, okay, I see what he is. This is first 5 years for Antonio Brown. 0, 2, 5, 8, and 13. First 5 years for Antonio Brown, catching touchdowns from Ben Roethlisberger.
So he's a slow starter.
These are the first 5 years from DeAndre Hopkins. 2, 6, 11. 4, 13. So he had some stinkers in there like Brown did, but he's had two double-digit touchdown years in his first 5 years. It's after that where obviously we don't know yet what DeAndre Hopkins is going to do, but there's definitely a case to be made that from a production and numbers standpoint, if you have to look at it equally through their first 5 years, DeAndre Hopkins is the guy that you could say has produced better than Antonio Brown. Will that be the case in the next four? Because after that, Brown had 10, 12, 9. I don't know if you can say that or not. He certainly
got
a
chance legitimate argument
with Deshaun Watson.
Simply by who was throwing him the ball alone.
Yes, exactly.
Period.
You had Big Ben, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL during his era while he played. He's been a consistently top five guy. You can't say that about anybody that D-Hop has played with until those six games last year with Watson.
And we talked about it.
And you can't
it.
Say he's a top five
we
guy.
We talked
yeah.
about it. You know, the fact that Ben Roethlisberger is still, to this day and time right now, rated as the top five tier one quarterbacks in this league includes Ben yeah. Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, so, yep. And the other thing is, like you talked about, the fact that Ben's able to, he plays every week.
Are you,
he plays hurt.
Yeah.
He endures. He stays on his feet when he's hit.
Are you saying I changed your mind?
Nope. Antonio Brown.
Okay.
I would have said D-Hop if they gave me credentials. No, I will. No, I wouldn't. I probably still would.
You know,
Antonio
it's funny.
Brown.
I did all that because I wanted to look objectively at the two through those. But I think if without looking at statistics and just watching the two
eye
guys,
test, yeah.
I would have gone with Antonio Brown as well. Yeah. But I think through their first 5 years, there's a case to be made.
It's good. It's cool. Good. It's good things to think about yeah. for sure. Robert, sorry, buddy. We ran out of time. We appreciate it. Try yep. and call back tomorrow. Get in here on an FEF Friday, and we'll get you to the top of the list. But we do appreciate you guys being a part of the show. As you always do, the suspects make it and break it and take it all down. We appreciate you. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on an FEF Friday. Have yourself a great night, and stay tuned. The Blitz is next.